look at how to impact the 1040 window through what may seem initially like an unlikely place, Bangkok, Thailand. I've been in Bangkok for 16 years with the International Mission Board, and we target university students there and plant churches so that they can impact the 1040 window. Bangkok has a lot of connections with the 1040 window. Have 8 children, and we've have 2 children now in college in the States, and we have 6 that are on the field still. I want to begin by just asking you to throw out some scriptures that come to mind about some of God's purposes for the world. You don't have to quote them, you just give the reference even and kind of summarize what it says and read it. You just throw out some scriptures that kind of summarize God's heart for the world that meant something to you. So if you look at it.
Matthew 4:5, look upon the nations and watch, be astonished and wonder, for I will do something in your day that you will not believe even if you were told.
Good. Anybody else?
Psalm 67 talks about all the nations praising God.
Good, thank you. Yes? One more.
After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that go from every nation, tribe, people, and numbers, and the throne in front of the land. They were wearing white robes and were holding the pomegranates in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and the land."
Thank you. And there's for me, I have a couple of verses that have been a lot to me over the years. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3 says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwelling, spare not, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your pegs. For you're spread abroad to the right and the left, your descendants will inherit the nations and rebuild the desolate cities." And just a little plug here. I remember years ago, a student that right when I graduated, I wanted God to use my life, but I really wasn't sure if he would. And I was available, but you know, I wasn't sure how much God would use. I never can be sure of that. And that's not the main focus of life. You're going to labor for Him. It's really encouraging to know that He's going to use your life for a significant thing. And one thing that I was, the person who was discipling me, really encouraged me to do was to read through Isaiah 40 through 66 and begin to pray and ask God to give me some promises. And I initially did not do that. I thought that was kind of ridiculous. Why Isaiah 40 through 66, all scriptures inspired? So I didn't do that for a while, but finally after several months I decided I'd give it a shot. And you know, in that passage it talks about a lot of promises that God's giving Israel, but of course it says in Galatians that we are the seed of Abraham in Christ, and all the promises that we're given to Israel are ours in Christ. And God then began to give me some promises that have given me tremendous confidence through the years that God is with me. I encourage you, you know, if you don't have a scripture, a promise, you know, God has to give it. We can't just, you know, I'm going to get one today kind of thing. But Isaiah 40 through 66, begin to read and seek the Lord, and I believe he'll, of course, other passages in Scripture, of course, too, but that's a really key section. What I want to do today, you know, we've looked at passages and talked about God's heart for the nations, and there are three things, I think three trends in the world, the context of the world today, that as you seek God's purpose for you and how your life will impact the nations, whether staying here or whether it's going, I think need to be considered a part of the context today. And one part of God's leading is our subjective. We seek Him, we ask Him to speak to us, but then there's also prudence. We talk a lot about that in Proverbs, is we look at what is also true and we see with our eyes. And so we walk by faith, yet also we're wise, we're discerning, we try to see what's going on in the world. And I'd like to share with you three key things using, hopefully we can get this PowerPoint working here.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Okay, vision. Refers to, in the ships of old when they sailed across the explorers, sailed across the oceans, they had this looking glass that looked through. Vision refers actually to that kind of looking glass. Vision gives perception, focus, and it blocks out the unnecessary stuff. Vision, in some ways, is not totally, it's not really like things are. It kind of sometimes oversimplifies, but the benefit is it really helps to focus and cut out the stuff and cause a lot of blurring. Would you go to the next one? As you look at this, I'd like to get some input from you. This is a record of Paul's missionary journeys. As you look at where he went, what would you think his looking glasses, his vision, were there some things you think that guided him? Of course, the Holy Spirit guided him, but were there some other things, some realities about that day that seemed to guide him? Do you have any observations?
Water.
Okay, water. You have to travel water, yeah. Anything else? Notice any patterns there? Right. He gets these cities. If you read in Thessalonians, it talks about how the gospel has been preached to all these regions through those of you in Thessalonica. He hit the cities, and from there, the gospel spread from that, radiated out. That's one thing I observed as well.
Okay, if you put in.
So there are three things, I'm going to read that. There are three things in your generation that should affect your looking glass. That should affect wherever God leads you. I believe God wants us to somehow be connected to some of these three things that are really key factors in the world today. Go ahead. First of all, we're all familiar, I'm sure, with the 1040 window. That part of the world extends across North Africa, the Middle East, through Asia, where over 90% of the people that haven't had a chance to hear live, yet where over half the world population also is. It's where, that's all we'll talk about that. Go ahead and press the next key. Again, please. And another, again, please. Just go ahead and keep pressing them. There are two things that are happening in the 1040 window. I know about 20 years ago when I began considering where God would have me invest my life, I really began to get interested in the 1040 window. And I began to hear a lot about unreached people groups. Okay, that's enough. But one thing I also began to notice was that in the 1040 window, there are going to be these cities that were going to be cropping up, some out of the ground, so to speak. Others that were already in existence were going to be growing by millions of people. The thing I began hearing about in those days was there's a real focus on the unreached people groups. But I wasn't hearing much about the cities. And one thing I began to notice was that one reason, if you buy things, they're either in China or Thailand or somewhere like that. Why? Because the labor is cheaper. And where these people are coming from, the unreached people groups, they're going to the cities where they can either get an education to get that kind of work or begin working at those places. So what's happening is the best and the brightest of the UPGs are moving to cities for work and education. So really the impact of 1040 window, we do have to impact the rural parts. But it's also very important to impact the cities, which are usually much more difficult in nature in terms of really impacting people. I'm not going to read all this, but just a few things that I want to, if you can read that or not, but just a few things from that. Sometimes I hear stories of how thousands of people, tens of thousands of people in certain villages and rural parts of the world are coming to the Lord, which we rejoice in. But I don't hear very often were the bastions, the cities are the bastions of Islam, communism, Buddhism, secularism. You know, the cities that have connections all over the world with other peoples and cities. The movers and shakers are there. I don't hear much about where these places people are coming to Christ by the tens of thousands yet. These are the centers of influence. And if you look at the bottom, statistics illustrate this point. In the year 1900, all the world's five largest cities were pro-Christian and centers for Christian life and missions. By the year 2000, three of the top five were hostile to Christian missions. It's not because those cities were converted away, but because the rapid growth of new cities is in the 1040 window, and those places are not Christian. They are anti-Christian in many cases. Three of the top five. By 2050, projections are that four of the top five will be anti-Christian cities. In 1900, there were only five non-Christian cities over 1 million people. Today, there are 121, and by the year 2050, there is projected to be 510. These are mainly in the 1040 window, where non-Christian world religions and philosophies have been entrenched for 3,000 or 4,000 years. So, what I want you to consider as you look at your life and as you pray and the weeks and months and years to come as God leads you, I think it's very important to begin to ask God, how can my life impact the cities of the 1040 window? Go ahead. Okay. Yeah. So impacting cities is one of, I've mentioned three things. Impacting cities is one of the strategic things in this day. You know, it's not like, you know, God's asleep and, oh, people are moving to cities. You know, why that's happening. I mean, I believe God is allowing this to happen so it can be a great harvest. Centers of influence where laborers can be raised up and disciple makers and church planters. Well, another thing that's happening in these cities is that there are universities coming into existence. For example, Thailand and Bangkok, where we live, when I went there 16 years ago, there's 5 million people, now there's 12 million people. But this is typical of the 1040 window. There's 1 million university students. So here you've got cities in the 1040 window, and then jugular veins, it's kind of like when you go to battle. The goal is not how can we station our troops every 100 yards, how can we cover the country, and that's not the goal in Iraq. The goal was, how can we go in, where's the jugular vein, how can we get in there quick and hit the jugular and get out and win? Well, I'm convinced, I know at least in Bangkok, that, and I'm sure a lot of these cities in 1040 window, university students are a key jugular vein, that if they could be impacted, because there are a lot of them, that it could impact that city. And then there's a third thing. Would you press the next one? There's also a need as we try to reach students in these cities of the 1040 window to not just do student ministry, but to plant churches from students. And I'll illustrate that point. About 20 years ago, when I was praying about whether God would lead us to go overseas, I was also invited to go to work with the Navigators. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're kind of like disciple-making ministry. And at that time, the Navigators, they have a worldwide ministry, discipling students, military people, and even people in the community. At that time, 20 years ago, they did some research. The way they used to do, they did ministry, for example, on university campuses, they would get kind of a key man, a key woman, one of each, on a campus, and kind of work through them as far as their disciple-making and everything, a student. And what they did was, they began to follow up and connect people that had graduated 5-10 years before that were working and living life in the United States and wanted to find out what were they doing. And what they found out was that 90 to 95% of their key people, not just the people in their ministries, but the key people that really had the vision, they're really giving themselves to making disciples, 90 95% of them were no longer giving themselves to the vision of multiplying disciples. Now, they were good Sunday school teachers. They were leaders in their church, because churches need workers, right? And so, you know, what they found out is as they transitioned from school and to working and then the marriage and the kids and the teenagers and all that, that if they were involved in a church that would keep those values before them that they had as a student, most people would not be lifetime laborers. And so another need to really impact the city, we have to impact university, but in the university, it's a way that churches can come from the universities that will really be in the mainstream of cities. And I think these three things are key. These verses we talked about earlier, what would that look like? I think they're really key. Would you press those? Okay, go ahead. So you look at the world. Go ahead. Two more. Another one. Go back. Sorry. Now there's a back key. Characters and time. So as you look at the world, how do these things relate to impacting them? Do you think if you could do, if you have a part in these first three circles happening, do you think it would impact the world? I do. Go ahead. Okay, go ahead. So going to Bangkok, how does Bangkok relate to all this? Well, Bangkok, there are some cities in the 1040 window that impact entire regions of the 1040 window. Bangkok is one such city. You can mention some others, probably like Beijing, Shanghai, New Delhi, Calcutta, Karachi, Cairo. I mean, cities that have connections all over the world. But Bangkok, I want you to think about Bangkok. Of the top 25 cities in the world that are, Bangkok's the only city that is both in the 1040 window of the top 25. It's the only one that's both in the 1040 window and has freedom to share the gospel. On this planet, it's the only mega city that's in the 1040 window where there's freedom to share the gospel. Go ahead. And as a mega city, it has people from all over the 1040 window living there. There's an Italian community in Bangkok. There are Japanese international school in Bangkok. There's an Iranian community in Bangkok. It's a cosmopolitan city. There are two kinds of, well, I'll go to that. So the next one, please. And again, and impacting the universities, there are 1 million university students in Bangkok. One out of every 10 people is a university student. One out of every 6 people in Thailand live in Bangkok. What that means is, and all these stats don't amount to it, but what that means is that when university students graduate in Bangkok, they tend to stay for work. Remember I talked about impacting students when you plant churches? That's really helpful. Because you can help students as they transition into work and raising families. Because you start with them in college and then continue on through planting churches in the city. There's really the opportunity in a city. And that's pretty sure the opportunity for the impact, the city impact that region. Bangkok is 0.2% Christian. Imagine you live in a town of 10,000 people and it was 0.2% Christian here in the United States. That means you would have about 20 believers in that town. Now, it took up until about 150, 160 years ago for the gospel to get from Jerusalem to Thailand. What that would mean is that, imagine this is, you're in the USA, and the USA is another major world religion. It's been for thousands of years, and you're in this town, 10,000 people here in the United States, and the first believer came into existence in your town 160 years ago, and it's taken 160 years ago to grow from 1 to 20. This is a city of 12 million. It's supposed to grow to 20 million people by the year 2025. But there are many university students that they have discretionary time. In a big urban area, one difficult thing is people are very busy. They have a lot of options. But university students in Bangkok and maybe other places, they are students. Culturally, they don't work. So they're the only slice of life in this mega city where they have really a lot of discretionary time. They want to learn English. And it's kind of like the jugular vein of that city impacting these students. And because Bangkok's the most modern point of Indochina and that whole region, students that learn to plant churches, they can, through work, they go, for example, they've taken mission trips already to Cambodia, to Laos. They got some connections with some unreached people groups in India. Because those connections are there in that city, and as they become laborers, it's very easy for them. I know a guy, for example, who's over the International Mission Board over all of Burma, Myanmar. There are many places in Myanmar he cannot even go into because he's white, just as a tourist. A Thai person can get on a bus in Thailand and just go anywhere they want. So, would you go ahead? So, planting churches from the students so we can impact the 1040 window. Okay, that's all. Yeah. Thank you. What I'd like to do now is, and then we'll have some discussion if you want. I've got another presentation that has music and everything that gives a picture, some of what I've said, and it shows how, like, volunteers, for example, and can really impact students and how that can influence the 1040 window. So let's look at that now. So setting this up, do you have any questions or comments? It talks more about practically how do we enter a university? You know, if universities are key and they can impact the city and plant churches and that, how does that happen? How do we enter a university and do that?
Thank you. John is a gateway to the 1040 window. Universities are the gateway into Bangkok. And volunteers are a gateway into the universities. And volunteers are God's gateway into the human heart here in Bangkok. Because there's freedom to share the gospel in Bangkok, American short-term volunteers can come and impact literally hundreds of people in a short amount of time. The way that they're involved in sharing the gospel is first by connecting with students on the campus through just hanging out on the campus, teaching some informal English classes. Then after meeting people, spending time together on the campus. After spending some time together on the campus, hanging out together off the campus, doing fun things like eating out, going places together. And from there, students are very open to coming to worship, most of them for the first time in their lives. After worship, we eat together. We spend time playing together. And through all these times together, we share the gospel. And God draws people to Himself. As students come to Christ, they come together in small cell groups on the campus that reach out into their network of friends and continue to grow and reproduce, that many on that campus might hear the gospel. These cell groups then come together and form the base of churches. During the time of the summer, one key evangelistic event is our evangelistic retreat that we usually have in a beach setting here in Thailand. During the retreat, there are groups of students that come from several university campuses to come together, where there's fun and just lots of time together. In addition to time together, there's a worship service during their time at the retreat where they hear the gospel and they join with Thai Christians in singing to the Lord. They hear the message of the gospel. After the message, they can break it into small groups and discuss how it applies to their life. And students at this time, many times, make decisions to accept Christ. Toward the end of the summer, the volunteers that come to Thailand for 2 months take a trip up country where they're involved in sharing the gospel with people who live in village settings in rural Thailand. They're involved in helping the people in practical ways, as well as in sharing the gospel with them. I'd like you now to give a testimony of how some young Thai believers were impacted by volunteers who came to Bangkok.
ที่เราจะประกาศและรับใช้พระเจ้าให้เพิ่มขึ้นเขามีส่วนช่วยมากที่เขาแบ่งปันเรื่องราวชีวิตของเขาให้เรารู้จักกับพระเจ้าทำให้เราได้รับความรอดไม่รู้จักพระเจ้าก็พวกเขาถ้าเขาไม่มาที่นี่ผมก็อาจจะไม่รู้จักพระเจ้า
I would like you to hear the testimony of a student who came to Bangkok as a volunteer.
But I really committed to the Lord early on in my
in my college career that I wanted to go at least one summer in my college career, and God opened the doors last year for me to be able to go, and provided above and beyond what I could have asked or thought of. And so I was really excited to go, and I went. I took a leap of faith and trusted that God would provide. He did. I trusted God that He would get me overseas, keep me safe. He did. And that He would allow me to see fruit for my willingness to go, and He did that. Several students came to Christ, and we were able to build relations with Thai Christians and disciple them and encourage them. So really, my experience of missions has been awesome. God has done incredible things in my life. He's really changed my perspective of how He loves people all over the world, how His heart is huge for the nations. So it was really good for me to leave what I knew in America and come to a different place and experience God in a whole new way. You can tell on the faces of people that they don't have hope because they're worshiping a God who does not speak to them, does not walk, does not talk, does not relate to them in a way that they are desiring, their soul is desiring. I just want to challenge you that these barriers that you might be facing, whether or not to go overseas, are really small in God's eyes, and He can take care of them. If you trust Him, if you have faith that He can provide, I just want to challenge you to pray, to get a group of people around you to pray, some family, some friends, and just ask God if He wants you to go. And just be willing. Say, God, here I am, send me. Be willing to go, be willing to serve, be willing to be about mission in some way.
I would like for you now to look at these pictures and ask God to speak to you to see what He would say in terms of His desires for Bangkok and how you might be related to it.
Every day they ask me, I can see in their eyes empty people can.
They must
Sure, they're both the same, just different colors. If you're interested in, we have a website and you can contact us there. That's not on the brochure, though. I have an email address on there that'll work. I didn't know if you had any questions or at this point. Maybe about Bangkok, maybe about this or the 1040 window or anything. We have that's really key to impacting students. They are volunteers because China, one of the best things for the gospel, I'm convinced, is communism. You know, when communism came in, it created a great vacuum in people's lives, and I think the church has really grown since communism came to China. And in Cambodia, they killed over 1 million of their own people, the Khmer Rouge. That created a tremendous vacuum where people have a felt need for eternal things to see how, this life is uncertain. Thailand has never really been colonized. And so, in fact, the word Thai means free. And so, compared to most of Indochina, they're not starving to death. And most of them have never known a Christian. And so, when you share the gospel with them, they'll listen politely. And they really will. I mean, it's not like they're just, being polite just to be polite. But, they really do want to listen to you. But it really doesn't always have a lot of visible impact initially. But what God does is, it seems like, is volunteers, when they go on a university campus like a team, it's like, Mad Men. I heard one person say they're like, the fly paper, and they just draw the flies, they just draw students, create momentum. And, it's very easy for a team that if you're there for just a few, like 2 weeks or even 2 months, to connect with hundreds of people. And people in the city are very busy, but when the American students are there, they're students, they really want to spend time. They'll commit to spend time. And then what happens is, the volunteers act like a bridge to Thai Christians that are also new believers that used to be Buddhists that are students. And what happens is, what I've observed is that when non-Christian Thai people get in an environment where Thais are worshiping God and applying His word in their life, then it's like the wheels begin to turn. Because when they hear someone share the gospel, it's like, all Americans are, Americans be Christian in their view. It's like to be Thais and be Buddhists. And so why shouldn't you be a Christian? You're an American. That's their view. But what volunteers do is they act like a magnet that draws them into a fellowship of believers, of Thai believers. And then it's like for the first time in their life, they're in a setting where they have a chance for the Holy Spirit to make them interested. Unlike other countries where the interest has already been created by sovereign things that God has done, Thailand, the only thing I've seen that will allow them to have the chance to become interested enough to want to understand, reject, or accept Christ is Western volunteers coming in, creating interest, and connecting them to Thai believers. And that seems to be the way, the only way I've seen that happen. So, long answer to your question, I just want to answer that in a way to show that volunteers are really a key. It's not like you guys come over, it's just extra work for us. It is a key part of impacting those universities. Anybody else have any questions? In Bangkok or in vision, what's the end vision? And that would be, if anybody have a Bible, could you turn to 1 Timothy 2:4 and read that for us? 1 Timothy 2:4.
He wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of his will.
So what would it look like in a city like Bangkok or any other 1040 window city for that verse if it did happen? What would it look like for every person in a city like that to have a chance to know a Christian that might be part of a loving body of believers that would really love God and love one another and love the lost, involve the lost in their lives, repeatedly invite this person to come? What would be the chances of every person to either have one friend or relative like that, so that by coming and joining, they might have a chance to be in a setting where the interest could be created, where they might begin to have an opportunity to ask questions and be interested in the answer, so they might accept or reject Christ? And we feel like if there is one group of growing believers like this, let's say even a group of seven or eight people, they're not part of a larger church, but for every 500 to 600 Thai people in Bangkok, then everyone might have a chance to know a believer as part of a loving fellowship where they might be invited repeated times and might attend, where they might have the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to create interest, so they might want to understand. And so, because that's the end goal. Like right now, there's a total of, I think, about 200 in a whole city like that, 12 million people. You need about, I figured out one time, 20,000 or 10,000, maybe 12,000, I think 12,000 such groups. My math may be off, but it's very obvious that multiplication has to happen. So what we want to see is when volunteers come in, they're connected to not just seeing people come to Christ, but then them grow and reproduce. And one thing I think is key about Bangkok and the 1040 window, which is the topic of this workshop, is by impacting students in Bangkok, there's a chance to impact them in a way that they could experience at planting churches. And then because of the connections, they can spread the gospel throughout that whole region. For example, one university we're working on, the faculty that teach Mandarin Chinese are from the University of Beijing. In Bangkok, if you look at all of Thailand, if you look at all the unreached people groups, you can find them in Bangkok as well, because they're moving there for work or school. For example, at one of our universities, I met a gal. She's from southern Thailand, which is basically Muslim. The whole provinces that are like 95% Muslim in southern Thailand. Her family, her grandmother, is from Malaysia, where it's against the law to share the gospel. You can share with Chinese in Malaysia, but you can't share with Malays. It's against the law. She's from one of the Malay families, yet she was in a Bible study group connecting with Christians there in Bangkok. And so there are those kinds of connections in a city like that. And with the opportunity to impact university students, it's just a real opportunity to impact the 1040 window.